Lord. Amen. Please open in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I speak from the New Testament, but as I mentioned in Sunday school, the New Testament is only valid because of the Old Testament. And if you don't know the Old Testament, you really can't understand the New Testament. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament 857 times. Whether it be Jesus quoting it or the apostles or someone else. Even Paul in the 5th chapter of Romans is quoting one of the people that spoke to Job. He speaks a passage that is very interesting because one wonders, well, I thought those servants of Job, those comforters, were not very good. Well, what the man said was true. And Paul took what he said and quoted it, which means it was of God. But a passage in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 is a truth that is very valid and taken from the Old Testament. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived." And may I just stop and say, deception is one of the great characteristics of our last days. "But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Oh, look at verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in the proper time, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not." Heavenly Father, we at such a time as this need to ask your help for the Holy Spirit to take my words. And I pray that the Holy Spirit help me, and may those that hear it, may our hearts be soft to receive the engrafted word. And Lord, may we take it into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul stated a very important principle in our text. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." His statement did not reveal something new, but he was simply the enunciation of a divine law of sowing and reaping. There are divine laws. We know the law of gravity. We may hear the law of aerodynamics. And there are other laws. But this law that God has put is just as a reality, and it is the divine law of sowing and reaping. And that such a law does exist is evident in all of creation. Let me use an illustration to begin. Suppose you drive out into the country. You're going to have to drive pretty far. But you see a man, and the man is sowing seed. So you stop your car and you say, "Hello there. How many believe it's nice to be nice? He that wanteth friends must show himself friendly." You say, "Hello there. What are you sowing?" And he says, "Seed." And then you say, "Well, what kind of seed?" And he says, "I don't know." And you say, "Well, don't you know whether it's good seed or bad seed?" And he says, "No," he said, "I can't tell if the seed is good or bad. All I know is that I'm sowing it." You'd probably class such a person as the scripture defines those of comfort, the feeble-minded. But he wouldn't be half as nuts. If I was politically correct, I say nuts. If I'm old-fashioned, I say stupid. But he wouldn't be half as stupid, I'm old-fashioned, as the man who goes through life sowing through life and time and eternity, and he never asked himself what he is sowing or what his harvest would be. The inevitability of this law is evidenced by our jails and our prisons, where the person who sows lawless acts, and now he's reaping confinement and he's reaping loss of personal freedom. He's not thinking when he does those things. I just talked to a preacher this morning who has a couple who he's grieved because it looks like they're going to the divorce courts. The husband is leaving her. He says that the wife has been so cruel with her talk, so vicious with her words, so putting him down over and over and over, he's just had it. And he's walking out. I'm not here to try to take sides or justify, but in such a case as this, it is evidenced by not only that case, but other individuals. At one time, they found great pleasure in each other, but since they have sown seeds of discord and thoughtlessness, and they have sown harsh words and have sown such things and even unfaithfulness, and now we find them reaping the results of their sowing. This law is also evidenced in the positive things of life as well. For instance, if you find a happy family, and that family you are impressed with, my, they seem to be so happy, may I simply tell you they are reaping the seeds they have sown of love and trust and faithfulness and cooperation and thoughtfulness, and they have carefully nurtured their attitudes to one another, and that is why they are happy. They are simply reaping what they have sown. Or let's move to a congregation of believers who have a vibrant love for God, and they have continued in their work for God, but now they are reaping the seeds of dedicated lives. If you see people that are on fire for God, may I just simply say it's because they're reaping what they have sown. They have sown into their lives a surrender to God. They have sown in their lives hours and months and years of unselfish labor, mixed with the Word of God and watered by the Holy Spirit. That's why people are excited for God. They're reaping what they have sown. And this law of sowing and reaping is illustrated profusely in the Scriptures. It's taught throughout in the Scriptures. If you consider the case of Jacob, who used deception on his father and on his brother, and he reaped when he was deceived by Laban and his own sons later in life. You remember how Jacob deceived his father and stole his brother's birthright? And years later, now Jacob is deceived himself by Laban and his own sons. We know that Jacob lied to his father, and he caused his father great heartache when he gained by trickery what his father had planned to give to Esau. But the law of sowing and reaping works for even everyone. And he reaped the falsehood and heartbreak when his own sons brought him Joseph's bloodstained coat and told him a cruel lie. You see, Jacob, he didn't consider the harvest when he sowed back when he lied to his father. But whether our sowing is done with thoughtlessness or whether our sowing is done with deliberate reaping always follows, regardless of your motive behind it. And he reaped power and wealth. And what a contrast to his father and his brothers, who Joseph, in spite of great trials. And may I say, when you're going through a trial, and that is our text, be not weary in well-doing. Keep sowing even when you're going through hard times. The temptation when you're going through difficult times is to let your hands down and, oh, and I give up. No, keep sowing, because the law works, and in due season you will reap if you faint not. And so we find that Joseph, even when he was going through difficult times, Joseph kept sowing faithfulness in spite of being lied about. Joseph kept sowing love and obedience to God's will. And in due time, Joseph reaped power and wealth and the saving of his family from starvation and eternal reward in heaven. Let me give a more recent illustration, although it's got a few years behind it. It is consider the sowing of a Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball. This is a true story. Edward Kimball, this man, had no visions of personal grandeur. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself, but he was determined to do what he could for God. How many remember the sermon when Jesus said, "Leave her alone, she had done what she could"? Well, here is Edward Kimball. He's just doing what he can. And he taught a class of 17-year-old boys and he had a burden for their salvation. But one boy in particular he considered very promising. But this boy was rude and uncouth and untaught. But Edward Kimball, he cared for his soul. And he wasn't about to ignore him. And he tried to reach him during the Sunday school class, but he had little success. So one day he went to the shoe store where the boy worked. And he met him in the back room of the shoe store. And that day there was born into the kingdom of God a young man by the name of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham before Billy Graham came along. He himself developed into one of God's greatest evangelists in the last half of the 19th century. And his ministry affected lives of millions. My friend Charlie was telling me he was reading about, I just forgot his name, D.L. Moody. Good night, nurse. That's what Galen Allen said, isn't it? So D.L. Moody, one time, Charlie told me he was reading where he sat down with eight people. And he was impressed to ask each of them the question, "Do you believe that if Jesus came tonight, you would be ready?" And he went through each one just asking a simple question. And D.L. Moody was so stirred by their answers that didn't really, they weren't taking it serious. D.L. Moody went home that night and he prayed and he said, "Oh God, let me be so sold out. If there's anybody that has ever been completely sold out, let it be me." And D.L. Moody vowed to God that he would do his best to win a soul to God every day. Now, I don't know if that actually happened, but it is recorded that D.L. Moody won a soul to God every day. One time he went to bed and he realized, "I haven't witnessed or won a soul to God today." And he got up, went downtown and found somebody and met and led this fellow to the Lord. But that was D.L. Moody, who was led to God by this Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball. And he simply sowed seed into the life of this 17-year-old boy. But Edward Kimball, he learned the literal truth that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because several years later, after Moody's conversion, Edward Kimball's son was now 17 years of age, and he was without God. He was rebellious against God. He was rebellious against his father. And yet he was won to the Lord by D.L. Moody. What an amazing story of the law of sowing and reaping. And the seed that had been sown in the life of another brought salvation to Edward Kimball's own son. You see, the truth is, we're all God's servants or stewards, and we will reap in proportion to our sowing, not what we intended to sow or thought we had sown or knew what we should have sown, but that only that which we actually did sow. Because all of human life is sowing. Whether we realize it or not, every time we think, we're sowing. Every time we feel, we're sowing. Every time we watch something on TV or don't watch something on TV, we are sowing. And we're sowing right now. We're sowing. We're sowing. And let us recognize the eternal value of all that is done in this life and sown. May we do so with the ultimate harvest in mind, and may we with faith know we're going to reap a good harvest, both in this life and in the life to come. None of us knows how many days he has left in this life. But faithfulness to God's will in this life is the best preparation for the life to come. That which a person has fostered here in himself will be the source of his blessedness or the fountain of his woe hereafter. If you sow godly living without reservation, you're going to reap a blessed life here and the eternal life hereafter. But as our text says, if you sow carnality and worldliness, if you just sow living for yourself, you're going to reap some unhappiness. You're going to reap miserable existence and eventually the loss, perhaps, of your most precious possession, your soul. So don't sow those things. Sow prayer. That's what he's saying to do. And reap the great benefits of the promises of God in answered prayer. Let's just consider these promises and encourage us to pray. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Sometimes I want to argue with that, and I have to tell myself, just hush up and believe it and act upon it. Let me read it to you again. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. He's talking about sowing in prayer. Or consider John 14:13. Jesus said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. So I want to say to all of us and myself, sow prayer. Sow much prayer. Number two, sow tithing and giving, and you will reap material spiritual blessings untold. 3 John 1:2, we know it, but we need to be reminded of us. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He's talking about sowing and reaping. However, if you sow stinginess and greed, you will reap financial and spiritual problems that will multiply each passing day. It may not happen now, but in due season. Due season happens in the positive and it happens in the negative, but it does happen. Another thing I would encourage us to do, and I'm pleased to see you this morning, and I want to encourage you, sow faithfulness and reap the faithfulness of Christ towards you and all the accompanying blessings that are guaranteed by God. If you sow unfaithfulness, you will reap the loss of protection of the Word. You will reap the Holy Spirit perhaps not moving on you because of your unfaithfulness. If you sow unfaithfulness, you'll reap the loss of protection of the Word and the Holy Spirit and this distinct possibilities of your prayers being answered. You mean, Pastor, I could be unfaithful and it will cause my prayers to be affected? Yes. You mean if I show unfaithfulness, it can stop God's blessings? Yes. Read the Bible. Oh, sow faithfulness. You see, the harvest that I close, Debbie, would you come, is inevitable. As you sow any seed, you'll reap a harvest. Sow the seeds of this physical life, you'll reap a harvest here and hereafter. And I say this after 46 years in the ministry. I've learned one thing. I can't live it for you. And neither can I reap it for you. I can only point the way. And that's all you can do to your loved ones, is just to point the way. It really grieves me and breaks my heart when I see people reaping a wrong harvest, even if they will not admit to sowing. But I've seen people reap a bad harvest and they won't even admit it's a result of what they sowed. Yet on the same token, I rejoice with you when I see a harvest of good things, both physical and material and spiritual. We are a product of what we've sowed. And I want to encourage you as Paul did, be not weary in well-doing. Well, you'll reap if you faint not. That means keep being faithful. Consider well today and open up our mind and soul, and may we listen to the word preached, and may we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I remember my home church before I started attending. It was a wonderful church. But a bad doctrine got in, and it split the church, and they lost over half of the congregation. They were going through a very difficult time, but the pastor and the congregation kept sowing faithfulness. And God, in due season, brought in an evangelist by the name of Dale Van Steenis. It started a revival. Things were moving. And God brought in and brought it back to where it was. When I came along, it all went down again. No, I came in at the tail end of this great revival. But I'm reminded that they had gone through such a difficult time. And that is why Paul writes, when he realizes you're going through a difficult time, be not weary in well-doing. For you shall reap if you faint not. Would you stand with me this morning? The most difficult thing to do will be to break ourselves, perhaps, if there are there bad habits that can hinder us, and may we put into execution the right habits that will put us on the road to a spiritual harvest. I repeat, be faithful. Be faithful in prayer and in your giving. Be faithful in your church attendance. Be faithful to God and to His Word and to His will. I want us to sing this morning, He is Lord. He is Lord. And could all of us just join in and let's sing this song and this chorus, and then we'll go to prayer. For He is Lord. He is Lord. And He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus. Let's worship Him one more time. Christ is Lord. And He's my Lord. find a place to pray, shall we? Let's sow prayer. Let's sow faith. Let's sow surrender. Let's sow to God, and we shall reap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's the Savior of my soul. My Jesus, my Jesus, and He's the Savior. Savior of my soul, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I'll ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I'll ask is to be like Him. My Lord, He's my Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Every knee shall bow.
Thank you, Jesus.